Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15. Henry Cloud writes in the book Necessary Endings, he classifies people into three groups. Now, some of you may not necessarily like them, but you can write your own book and you can classify them however you want to. But in his book, he classifies the people that we all come into contact with in one of three ways. He says they're either wise, they're either foolish, or they're evil. Now, some of you right now, as we're speaking, are categorizing your friends and contacts. You're deciding which one goes in which group. And then as you put them in one, you think, well, no, wait a minute, they don't always go. I probably need to put them in two groups or three groups. And so, as we think about it, as you think about that, those are actually pretty good divisions. The wise, the foolish, and the evil. And fortunately, he defines evil basically as those who intentionally do wrong. Those who intentionally harm you, bring hurt to you. And fortunately, most of us, we typically don't come into a lot of contact with those kind of folks. If we do, we try to not come into contact with them often. But there are those people out there who will intentionally harm you. I mean, that's their goal. They want to take advantage of you, whether it's financially or just use you in some other way. There are those out there who fit the category of evil. That we see them on the news all the time. We see them in the newspaper. Those who that's how they make their living, it seems, is by doing evil, by scamming others, by hurting others. One of the funniest things I've read in a long time, I was reading of a lady, some of you who have internet, email, you've probably seen some of these things that go around. It's called the Nigerian scam, where there's some Nigerians who are needing to move money out of Nigeria somehow. And I'll be honest, I've never read the whole thing. I just deleted it, but I read yesterday where somebody, I can't believe it, but they're in trouble because they scammed the Nigerians back, and they managed to get about $30,000 of their money, and for some reason they got in trouble for it. I'm like, give them a high five and send them on their way, but there are people out there who, if you have email, you get them all the time. There are people out there who intentionally want to do harm. Unfortunately, they're not as prominent as maybe some people think they are, and again, most of us will manage, even if we come across them, to avoid them, but they're there. The other group that makes up a big portion are not only the evil, but the foolish. Now, they're everywhere. As the little line in the cartoon goes, they're everywhere. As we look around, folks that fit in to that category, how many of you know somebody that you put in the, I'm not asking call the name, that you put in the category of evil? I mean, you run into those folks. They're evil. They will intentionally do you wrong. How many of you know somebody that, I hate to, you go ahead and put them in the category of foolish. You put them there. They're there. Now, on the other hand, they're people there who it seems like they just are incapable of making a good decision. It seems like they have all the information in front of them, and they just seem to ignore it, don't get it. Something. It just seems to be their way of doing things. I'm not saying that everything they do is foolish. I'm not saying that every action, every decision they make is a bad one, but it seems like the majority of it. They're around us. We have those people. We're careful when we're around them because they'll get you hurt too. I mean, they're just, they don't do it on purpose, but they're just, they're just that way. They just seem to be foolish. And then that third group, they're out there as well, thankfully. They are the wise. They're there, and fortunately, probably most every one of us, I hope anyway, has at least one person around you who you consider to be wise, who is a person that you look to for wisdom. You look to, you know that if you need good counsel, if you need good advice, if you need a good example, if you need somebody to turn to, they're there. That's the person. If I need to know how to handle something, if I need to know how it ought to be done, I'll go look and see how they deal with it. I'll go talk to them. I think about, I was very fortunate in my life to have had, in particular to have had two, my grandfather, my mother's daddy, and my great-grandmother. My mother's mother's
Father. I did get that right. But those two were two that were not particularly educated in books and learning, but very wise. They just seemed to always know how to handle the circumstance. My grandfather it never seemed to matter how everybody else was falling apart. Everything else was going to pieces, and he just had that kind of wisdom about him. He just demonstrated. I remember watching him as he dealt with cancer. He just, when everybody else is falling apart and everybody else is, just devastated, he's just, he's the one with the cancer, and yet he's the rock in the family. I mean, it's just, he just had that way about him. And so all of us, we have those three categories of people. You may have never thought of it that way. You may have now you're going to be going around this week going, wise, evil, foolish. Wise, you're going to be going around looking at your family and friends. Your next family reunion, you're going to be sitting back in the corner going, foolish, 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 evil. One wise in the bunch. I don't give you ammunition, but if you think about it, that's a pretty good way of looking at most people. Now, let me just remind you of one thing, that in my daily life, as I go about my life, as I come into contact with people, I am surrounded by the wise, the foolish, and the evil. Okay? So are you. As you go about your daily life, you are surrounded by the wise, the foolish, and the evil. So if I'm surrounded by the wise, the foolish, and the evil, and you're surrounded by the wise and the foolish and the evil, what does that say about you? You're either wise or foolish or evil. Now, as you think about that, everybody isn't always wise. Everybody isn't always foolish. Everybody isn't always evil. But we have that around us, and unfortunately, we all have the... every now and then, everybody comes out with a gem of wisdom. I mean, it may not be all, but every now and then, everybody has a little bit of wisdom. On the other hand, every now and then, all of us manage to flounder upon a little bit of foolishness. And let's be honest, every now and then we all have the tendency, we all have the capacity to be a little bit evil. But honestly, evil is one that most of us, we don't deal with that much. Foolishness, don't have time to deal with foolishness in one sermon. So I want to look for a moment at the ways of the wise. Well, what exactly is wisdom? What does wisdom look like? To be quite honest with you, wisdom is so rare in our society that most of us we don't have a clue. We don't even know what it looks like. We have a misunderstanding. We have a terrible idea of what wisdom is. We just don't see it demonstrated very often. We don't see it out in public very often. We don't see it on television. We don't see it in the news. We don't see it in politics. Wisdom is as rare as they say, it is as rare as hen's teeth. It's like looking for a needle in a haystack. It's pretty difficult to find. And part of the reason for that is we're looking for the wrong thing. We don't know what to look for when we're looking for wisdom. So the first thing I think we need to do to really grasp wisdom, and believe me, even though I gave you the wrong words, we're going to work our way to that passage in Proverbs in just a moment. But I want to take a minute and tell you what wisdom is not. What wisdom doesn't consist of. And again, in our society, this is typically the way that wisdom is thought of. There is a huge misunderstanding about wisdom. Most people in our society will lump wisdom into one of or a combination of these three categories. Many people think that wisdom is all about status. Well, he must be wise. Look at the title he has. He must be wise, look at the job he has. He must be wise, he got voted in. He must be wise, he got promoted. He must be wise, but listen, there are plenty of business leaders, managers, supervisors, foremen. There are plenty of pastors and politicians. There are plenty of business owners that are anything but wise. In fact, according to the biblical description, you'd have to say they were foolish. Status doesn't mean wisdom. But in our society, we tend to look at people again and say, look at their position. Look at them. They've got here. They've got this title. They've got this position in society. And they must be wise. But and what's really sad is all of us deep in our hearts know better, because every day when we pick up the paper, every day when we turn on the television, someone else who had one of these titles, someone else who was famous, someone else who was in a position of authority has thoroughly embarrassed themselves and proven themselves to be foolish. Status doesn't equal to being wise. Now, let me hasten to say, you can have status and be wise. But you can also have status and be foolish. They are not directly connected. You know, position may mean you married the boss's daughter. You know, it doesn't necessarily mean you're wise. Status may be you were the only one dumb enough to take the job. You know, it doesn't necessarily mean you're wise. I remember years ago there being a position in Baptist life that was open, and I knew someone who was on the search committee for this position. We were talking one day and said, we're having a real problem filling that job. And I said, really, what's the problem? So, well, everybody that's smart enough to do the job is too smart to apply for the job. And the only ones that apply for the job, they're not smart enough to do the job. Yeah, and so I don't know what that says about the person who ultimately got the job, but yeah, just because you've got the title, because you've got the corner office, does not mean you've got wisdom. Everybody in here, if you're honest, if you've worked a day in your life, you know that position, status, does not equal wisdom. Yeah, all of us have had someone above us. All of us have worked for someone, had someone in a position of authority above us, had the title, had the keys, had ownership, but were foolish as the day is long. Status doesn't equal wisdom. Anything but. Now, again, you can have status and be wise, but it's not necessarily a requirement. Second thing that in our society we tend to mistake for wisdom is we often mistake not only wisdom, but we mistake smartness for wisdom. Folks, smartness is not wisdom. Smartness is smartness. That's all it is. Yeah, there are plenty of people with degrees. There are plenty of people. Yeah, I know folks with master's degrees. I know folks with doctorate degrees. I know people with all kinds of degrees beside their name who are smart, can split an atom, do an algebra problem, all those things, and yet they are foolish. Smart does not equal wisdom. On the other hand, I know folks who are gardeners and who are typically positions that many of us may not think have a lot of status, as I said earlier, but they are extremely wise. I had a guy who worked for me years ago who, to my knowledge, if I remember correctly, only finished the seventh grade. Yeah, he had to give up his job give up school in the seventh grade because his father had passed away. He had to quit and go to work and begin to take care of his family. Now, he wasn't very smart. He didn't have a lot of book learning. He couldn't talk to you about Shakespeare. And he couldn't talk to you about, the theory of relativity. But if you wanted some wisdom, he was your man. And so wisdom is not even smartness, as some would have you to believe. You know, I've said before, you hear people say, oh, he's really smart. He knows three languages. No, that means he says dumb things three different ways. That doesn't mean he's smart. Yeah, and so smartness isn't wisdom. It just means that, status, smart, none of those are wisdom as the Bible would define wisdom. Again, I know a lot of folks who, I'll be honest with you, some of the most foolish people I've ever seen have the phrase doctor in front of their name. I picked up a book the other day and looked at the title and thought, this is going to be a good book. And I read about two chapters and said, this is all I can stand of this net. He had all the degrees, he had all the education, but he proceeded to write it. It wasn't real. He's a nut. He's foolish. I don't care how many degrees he's got. If you disagree with the Word of God, you're foolish. You can be educated. You can have all kinds of titles and names. But the fact is, smart doesn't equal wisdom. Status doesn't equal wisdom. Third thing that we know doesn't equal wisdom that the Bible shows us is pretty clear when we look at wisdom. It's not about skills. You can be good at something and still be foolish. You know, I look around and we can use modern celebrity. There are plenty of athletes out there that can run faster, jump higher, run longer. They're amazing in their skill level, but folks, they are foolish. You know, they may be the most foolish among us. I've understood why it seems like we put cameras on the most foolish among us. You look around at celebrity, and they have acting skills or singing skills or, those kind of things. They have talent, but, let me give you an example. Some of you, many of you in here, you may not even keep up with sports, but you'll know this name. Dennis Rodman. Now, he doesn't play basketball anymore. Some of you don't have a clue who I'm talking about. Let me just say this about Dennis Rodman. And when I describe him, you may know him. Has tattoos from head to toe. His hair generally shows up in whatever colors under the rainbow, and he has been seen in a wedding dress. Okay, does that help? Let me tell you this about the man. If the basketball is loose, he'll get it. He is a basketball-playing maniac. He has talent beyond belief when it comes to playing basketball. But he also has been known to run to the end of the court and kick a cameraman. Those kinds of things. There's a difference in having talent. Skill is not wisdom. You might be the best contractor. You might be the best dry cleaner. You might be the best hair cutter. You might be the best nurse. You can have all kinds of... Let me just cut this off. You can have all kinds of skill and knowledge and ability to do so. That doesn't mean you have wisdom. That means you have skill. There's a difference. And so wisdom isn't status. You can get a title. You can buy a title. You can marry the boss's daughter. You can get a title. It's not about status. It's not about smartness. You can earn all kinds of degrees and still not be wise. It's not about skills. You can be able to bounce a ball, throw a ball. You can be able to sing. You can be the best in your profession and not be wise. Random poll. Martin, I'll give you this assignment. As people come into cleaners this week, you ask them, what's your definition of wisdom? And you report back. You can play along if you want to. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say it will be the rare bird, if any, that gives you the biblical definition of wisdom. It will almost always come back as somebody that's smart, somebody that's achieved. Some form or fashion of those three characteristics will be what you come back with if you ask out on the street, what is wisdom? Look at that verse in Proverbs and see what it says about wisdom. You see what Solomon says there? He's very clear when he says this, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkens to counsel is wise. So what is a wise man according to Solomon? Solomon says a wise man is not one who has a job, a title. Wise man is not one who is well recognized and notarized and known. He's not a man that has a lot of degrees beside his name, can, do all kinds of adding and subtracting and knows history and all that stuff. He's not a man that is a giant in his field, but he is a man who will listen to counsel. That's what Solomon says. That's what the Bible says. If you look in Proverbs, again, the Bible's full of a lot of comments about, well, obviously Proverbs is the center, but the Bible is filled with comments about wisdom. Proverbs chapter 1 says this, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Proverbs 9 says, reprove not a scorned, lest he hate thee. What he says is, no time in wasting your words on a foolish man. He'll just hate you. Rebuke a wise man, though, and he'll love you. What he says, you give a wise man counsel, and he will love you, and he will appreciate you for that wisdom. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. So what does Solomon say that a wise man is? Solomon says that a wise man is not one that has a title, not one that has fame, not one that has a lot of skill, but Solomon says a wise man may be somebody you've never heard of who didn't finish the third grade, who doesn't have a particular marketable skill, but is willing to listen to good advice. That's a wise man.
I challenge you to go out onto the street today and see if that's the answer you get. There are three marks, I think, in that summary of what wisdom amounts to. And this is not pick your own. This is not buffet. This is not one or two. Two out of three is not bad. This is all three. Wisdom is three things. Wisdom is attentive. Wisdom is accepting. And wisdom is adaptive. All three. Got to be there. All three. Wisdom is attentive. Wise man, Proverbs says, Solomon says, a wise man listens to counsel. A wise man is accepting. You remember what he said? He said, if you rebuke a foolish man, he'll hate you. But if you rebuke a wise man, he'll love you. Not only does he hear it, but he takes it in. He's like a sponge to counsel. But then he also says he's adapting. Because what else does Solomon say? He says a wise man, if you give him advice, does what? Gets wiser. And so a wise man is attentive. He listens. He's accepting. He takes it in. And he is adaptive. He changes. Now, there are plenty of people who will listen. I've been out before with bread men, for example. Been out and see them doing something that was a bad habit, something that was wrong. And so they say, listen, this is not the way I need you to do it. I need you to do it like this. This is the right way. Oh, okay, no problem. Yeah, I see what you're talking about. Yeah. I come back in a week and I check behind them and guess what? They were attentive. They were accepting. They didn't fly in mad, get mad. They just didn't adapt. They're still doing it the same old way they always did. On the other hand, I went behind somebody and said, hey, that's not the way we need it. I need you to do it this way. They heard me. They weren't accepting. What do you mean? That's not they want to get mad. Listen, a wise man hears the counsel, accepts the counsel, and then adapts to the counsel. That's the difference in a wise man. He's not necessarily smart. He's not necessarily famous. But he's willing to listen to advice. When you give them feedback, when you give them advice, they listen to it. Young people, listen to me. If you want to be wise, it may not make you smart, but it'll go a long way towards you. If you want to be wise, listen to your mama and your daddy and your grandma and grandpa. I promise you. See, I know, listen, I've been there, I've done that. I know. As a young person, you think your mother and your father, your grandparents, are just, I mean, make you mad, just trying to, I know that sometimes when they give us advice, we think they're meddling. Say amen, older folks, you know it's true. That, you know, we thought our parents were meddling, they think you're meddling. Hadn't changed. Yeah. Even worse than meddling, sometimes we just think they're just downright being intrusive, trying to tell you what to do. Let me tell you something. I'm not going to say never, because there's some messed up parents out there. Okay? I know that. You know, there are parents who run their children into lakes and those kind. I know there are some bad parents. But I feel safe in saying, I don't know who's listening on the internet who will pick up this tape. But I feel very confident in saying in this room this morning that none of you have a parent or a grandparent who would intentionally give you bad advice. They wouldn't do it. They love you too much. They wouldn't hurt you for all the cows in Texas. I know you think they're meddling, they're messing, but listen, if you want to be wise, you learn to listen, you learn to accept, and you learn to adapt. Now, adapt may not necessarily mean you do it exactly the way they say do it. But you take the counsel. Remember what that verse in Proverbs said? He said a wise man hears counsel and becomes wiser. Let me tell you something else. And this isn't particularly, listen, as older folks we can learn too, but teenagers, young people, let me tell you something. You can learn a whole lot from a foolish man if you'll listen. You can learn, you may think, he's foolish, I don't want anything to do with him. You can learn a lot from a foolish man. You can learn how not to do it. You know, he sticks his finger in a light socket, you say, I'm not going to do that. There's a lot to be said for learning. A wise man, when you give them feedback, they appreciate it. They say things like, appreciate you telling me that. Thanks for letting me know that. I appreciate that. Thanks for your help. You know, I appreciate it. I didn't realize that. I didn't see that. No, why? That's the kind of answer you get from a wise man. You know, a foolish man goes tend to your business. This is my job. This is my business. This is my place. You know, tend to your business. I think about when I was a Marine, we had two old guys, and I have no idea how old Wilton was. One of these men, Wilton and Roy, was around when Marita introduced old-fashioned bread. He was working for the company then. That's how old they were. You know, I don't even know how old they were. They were ancient when I first met them. They worked harder. I'd like to hire them. They worked harder than a lot of young people. But what they did after they retired, their job, what they agreed to do, was we had like 30 or 40 routes in Charlotte. They would go, and it was always having somebody go over there. If you had to go over there, they would ride with you and show you around Charlotte, help you get where you needed to be. They knew Charlotte like you know your house. Now, Wilton was as funny as, I mean, Wilton was just a character. You know, he was woman crazy. You know, he 90 years old and girl crazy. You know, I used to give him a hit. He like fell out of a truck one day going down Sugar Creek Road, hollering at a girl walking out. Wilton, get in this truck! You know, crazy rascal. You know, but Wilton had two characteristics about him. Two things. Every morning when he was going to be riding around, he'd come in with his 5-gallon bucket that he'd put him a cushion on. Milk crate, not a bucket. Milk crate that had a cushion on it because there's not a passenger seat in a bread truck. He'd get there and he'd put that milk crate on so he'd have him a place to sit. The two characteristics was it did not matter what time you were leaving. Wilton would get on the truck and say, "We got to go. We're late." It didn't matter. I've been pulling out of the building at 4 o'clock in the morning, knowing full well that the man that normally run that route didn't leave till 5:30, 6 o'clock. Wilton get on the truck and say, "We got to go. We're late." It didn't matter. Wilton was going to tell you you were late. Second thing Wilton did was we had a route book. He told you where to go, how much bread to leave. First, his foot wasn't hardly going to be on the bottom step of the truck. Well, he was going to say, "Give me that book. Let me see that book." He wanted to know where we were going, stop, that kind of thing. You just handed him the book. "Look at the book, Wilton. I don't care. Draw pictures in the book. I don't carry the book. I don't care. Have the book." Yeah. When I knew he was going with me, I just laid the book on the dash. So when he got on, I just pointed. "There's the book." We had this young man who was from north of the Mason-Dixon line. How's that? He knew more than we did. Wilton climbed up on the truck one day with this fella, and before Wilton could get it out of his mouth, "Let me see that book," Randall turned around and said, "Just sit down and write. I don't want to hear it." Wilton set his milk crate down, set him down, and sat there. About 7 o'clock that night, when the route ought to have been done, about 1, they came rolling back in. Everybody says, "Wilton, where you been?" "I don't know. Ask him." And he walked out the door and went home. That is the end of it. A wise man learns to take counsel. You know, a fool is the one that says, "I don't want your help. I don't want your advice. I'm not going to lie to you, Wilton. He's a good man. He's got on my nerves before. But I knew good and well if he got off that truck, I couldn't find my way home." You know, that's all there was to it. I've been places in Charlotte I've only seen on the news. You know. You think I'm kidding. I've been places over there on bread trucks where there was still blood on the sidewalk. I'm not playing. Yeah. It was good just to have numbers, even if he was 90. Yeah. Don't refuse the counsel. Only a fool refuses counsel. Wise man is not one who has book learning and job experience and all those things. A wise man listens to counsel. A wise man is willing when that person comes along. You know, can I use you for an example? Wise man is a foolish man that run a dry cleaner would say something like this. Somebody comes along and says, "You didn't get this stain out of my shirt. I did the best I can. It's that old machine. It's those chemicals they send to me. You should have got that stain on that shirt to start with. A wise man owns his position. A foolish man is one who always is saying it's his fault, it's her fault, it's their fault. A foolish man is the one who the problem is always somewhere else. A wise man is willing to listen to counsel. He is attentive. He is accepting to that counsel, and he's willing to make the change. That's a wise man. Now, let's get down to right down to where the brass tacks of this thing comes to. Some of you are sitting here this morning and you're agreeing, you're nodding, you're thinking about business, you're thinking about people you've done business with, you're thinking about children and grandchildren who are hard heads. You know, you're thinking about the evil and the foolish. You've been busy ever since I told you, wise, evil, and foolish. You hadn't heard anything I said. You've been categorizing your contact list. You know, some of you have had out your iPhone, your Blackberries, and you're changing them from business associates and friends. You're going in there and changing them, wise, foolish, and evil. You've come up with new categories for them. Let's get down to the brass tacks of this thing. If a foolish man is one that won't listen to the counsel of someone else around him, what in the world would you call a man who refuses to listen to the counsel of God's Word? Some of you are sitting there this morning thinking about your child or your grandchild, how they won't listen to your good counsel, thinking, that's right, Jimmy, you tell them. What do you call a person, if a man is a foolish man that won't listen to counsel, what do you call a man who refuses to listen to the counsel of the Holy Spirit in his life? Is there a word stronger than foolish? I've had people look me in the eye and say, I know what the Bible says, but. What is that, if that is not the height of foolishness? If that is not the pinnacle of foolishness? I've had people look at me and say, I know what the Holy Spirit wants in my life. I know what He wants me to do. I know He's calling me to do this, but I am not ready. That's certainly not wisdom. And it may go beyond the bounds of foolishness. I've had people look at me and say, I know I'm lost. I know I've never accepted Christ. I know I need to. I know that if I was to die today, I would not go to heaven. I would go and split hell wide open. But I am not ready to accept Christ. Certainly not wisdom. It's got to be the pinnacle of foolishness. If a wise man is one that listens to counsel, and a foolish man is one that refuses good counsel, then what is a man that picks up his copy of God's Word and reads what it says and continues to ignore it? Now, there are a lot of people out there who never pick up a copy of God's Word. Never. That's one group of people. But you know what? The majority of people that I'm going to come in contact with in this community are those that are attentive. They know the Word of God. They're even accepting. They're not throwing it out. They're not burning it. They're just not adapting. The Word of God is not changing them. If foolishness is refusing good counsel, what would you call refusing the leadership and the instruction of God in your life? I want to ask you to bow your heads. Our musicians are going to come, and they're simply going to play this morning. A very appropriate song without Him. Where would you be without Him? That's where you are without His counsel, without His advice, without His wisdom. Some of you sitting here this morning, you say, you know what, I know God's been leading me. I know God's been directing me. I know He's been calling me. I know what God wants for my life, and I've been ignoring Him. I've been putting it off. What is that? Certainly can't be called wisdom. Some of you sitting here this morning, you know that you're lost. You know that if you were to die today, that you don't have a relationship with Christ. And you've been thinking about it, and you know. You know. There's not a doubt in your mind. It's not I think, I'm not sure. You know. Beyond any shadow of a doubt that without Christ, that you're lost. And you're saying some other day, that's certainly not wisdom. I'm going to ask you to stand together this morning while they play. You need to simply slip out. You need to come to this altar and say, Lord, I want to exhibit wisdom. I want to be obedient to what you're saying to my life. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Christ. You need to come, let us show you from God's Word.